Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, it is our joy and delight to come to you with meditation in the Word of God. We have been discussing this book of Matthew, which answers the question, is this Jesus of Nazareth the Messiah, the real King of Israel? And we finished the first seven chapters, where Christ has proved his legal right to the throne, his moral right to the throne, and if I use the term, his judicial right to the throne. As the king, he can make law. Now, when we come to chapters 8, 9, and 10, there is given to us our Lord proving his authority as king, or proving his prophetical right to the throne of David. And in this, you have miracle after miracle after miracle. Chapters 8, 9, and 10, full of miracles. In fact, the first miracle in the New Testament is found here in Matthew chapter 8. And here we have the credentials of the king. Is he really, really the Messiah? Now, if I were to ask you, what is the first miracle in Matthew, the chances are most of you wouldn't know what it was. Nor Mark, nor Luke. I think most of you know that the first miracle in John's Gospel was the changing of water into wine. Well, that's the act of a creator. When you come to Mark and Luke's Gospel, the first miracle in these two Gospels are the casting out of demons. But when you come to Matthew, the very first thing is the cleansing of a leper, and rightly so, as we shall see in a few moments. Now, here we have the authority or the credentials of the king. And you will notice in this first chapter, that is chapter 8, he manifests his power over disease, he manifests his power over demons, and he manifests his power over nature. Now, although Matthew is the book of the king, yet here and there you have revelations of the fact that he's really God. Now, I know when you come to John's Gospel or the Gospel through John, we have this matter of John choosing certain signs as to the deity of our Savior. But when you come to Matthew's Gospel, he's proving that he's the Messiah. However, right in the background, you have the revelation of him as the servant of Jehovah, as a real man, and as God, just like you have it in the other Gospels. There is generally one outstanding thing in each Gospel. If I may remind you of the first lessons we had on the New Testament, when Matthew, he's the king, and Mark, he's the servant of Jehovah, in Luke, he is the Son of Man, he's a real man, and in John, he is God manifest in the flesh. And yet, though each one is particular in what he's revealing, nevertheless, you have instances where you have the revelation of him as a king, as a servant, as man, and as God. Now remember, chapter 7 ends with the people being astonished at his teaching, but they didn't acknowledge their relationship to him. There was no heart. They were indifferent, to be frank with you. They were indifferent to the Savior. Now we come to chapter 8, and in the first 15 verses, we have his power over disease. And we have three cases. We have his authority in the cleansing of lepers, in the healing of the palsy, and in the touching of fever. Or, as someone has well said, in the leprosy we see the uncleanness of sin. In the palsy we see the helplessness caused by sin. And then in the fever we see the restlessness of the human heart caused by sin. Now, you notice also in these three miracles, in the first one, he touches the leper. And the second one, it's by faith. In the third one, he touches it again. In other words, our Lord, you just can't put our Lord in a rut. He does sometimes, he speaks the word, sometimes he touches them, sometimes he calls for faith, whatever it may be. But as the Messiah, he must prove his prophetical right to the throne of David. Now, I want to read those first few verses of Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, Don't tell any man, or see thou tell no man, But go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now here is the first miracle which has to do with his power over disease, or his first credential. And you'll notice the first miracle in Matthew is the cleansing of a leper. And leprosy is a picture of the defilement caused by sin. Not only the hopelessness of the sinner, but the defilement of him. And when our Lord came, the man said, if you want to, you can be made clean. You can make me clean. You remember and the Lord put forth his hand and touched him. And I'd like to emphasize, he didn't just touch him. If I may go to Mark, the first chapter, he really laid hold of him and said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know, under the old economy, Mosaic economy, when a leper came in the midst of other people, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. You couldn't touch a leper. If you touched a leper, you would become unclean. And the lepers generally lived in a camp of lepers. They lived outside. When a man came down with leprosy, he had to leave his business, he had to leave his family and his children and his home, and go out of the camp. He was unclean. And here we have what we call the camp of the lepers. And this man in some way had heard about the Savior. How, I don't know. But he heard a report. He moved on the hearing of a report. What was the report? A man called Jesus of Nazareth is healing the sick and cast out demons and cleansing lepers. And this man determined to go and meet Jesus. If I can only see him, he'll cleanse me. So he came. In fact, in Mark's gospel, I read, there came one running to him. Now, I wonder sometimes, where was Peter, James, and John and the other disciples? You know, I think when he came crying unclean, which he had to do under the Moses or Mosaic law, wouldn't surprise me if all the 12 disciples just beat it. They just ran, lest they become unclean. But notice what Jesus said. I will be thou clean. Laid hold of him. He didn't just speak the word, he laid hold of him. You know, I just love this picture. The compassion of Jesus. He had compassion on him. Healed him. Cleansed him. You know, I said a moment ago, leprosy is a real picture of the defilement and the hopelessness caused by sin. The man said, if you want to, you can make me whole. Nobody else can. This is my only opportunity of being delivered from my leprosy. If you want to, you can make me whole. Jesus said, I will. Oh, how he longs to take hold of sinners, leprosy of the soul, and cleanse you from every sin. Be thou clean. Don't you love it? You know, you and I don't appreciate this because we've never seen lepers. I was one time in Taiwan and preached to 100 or so lepers in the leprosarium there. And I want to tell you, my friend, my heart just went out to these people. Some with no hands, some with no feet, and their faces were all affected, and some were so helpless they couldn't move. They even had a little band, and some only had one hand, some had two hands and no nose. Leprosy, it's a terrible thing. Jesus said, as he laid hold of him, be thou clean. Under the Mosaic law, Jesus would have been made unclean. Instead of that, the man was made clean. Oh, I tell you, when you and I come with all our sin, that incurable disease of sin, and come into the presence of the Savior, he says, I will, be thou clean. Wonderful thing that when the Lord cleanses, he cleanses from all sin. Oh, listen, my friend, I don't care how bad you are, how sinful you are, or how sinful you have been, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is a real Savior. I'm not asking you to be religious or to go through some ceremony. I'm just asking you to come to Jesus, who is able to cleanse lepers, and he's able to take those who are dead in trespasses and sins, covered with leprosy, with sin, moral leprosy, cleansed. It's a rather strange thing that when God wants to give us a picture of the awfulness, the defilement, the corruption of sin, he uses such a thing as leprosy. You take the first chapter of Isaiah, when God is talking about the nation Israel, from the top of the head to the sole of the feet, they're one mass of putrefying sores. Leprosy. Spiritual, moral leprosy. And my friend, we have a great many moral lepers in our cities, in our towns, on our streets. Moral lepers. And only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from it. I can't help but to stop here and tell you that. We've got good news for you who are moral lepers. You who are sinners. Good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to cleanse, to save, to forgive sinners. Every sin. I tell you, my friend, he's not a halfway savior. He's a perfect savior. Now, what should we do here? And the Lord said to him an amazing thing. In verse 4, Jesus said to this man whom he had cleansed, "Don't tell anybody, but you go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Our Savior recognized Old Testament authority. You see, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 14, if I may tell you this, Leviticus chapter 14, we have the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. What does he do? He takes two birds, alive and clean, scarlet and hyssop. That is, the priest takes for him. He goes to the priest. The man does nothing. The priest provides the sacrifice. Two birds. One is killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And then the second bird is let loose. The blood of the first bird is sprinkled upon the second bird. It's let loose into the open fields. Then he turns to the leper, and the priest pronounces him clean. Jesus said, "You go to the priest and show yourself what's happened." Now he must have the testimony of the priest. Remember that the priests were the leaders of Israel. You go to one of the leaders, the priests, and tell him by your action that Messiah is here. Only God can cleanse the lepers. And when Messiah comes, what did Isaiah say he would do? He would cleanse lepers. And all down through your Bible, you have God setting before Israel the method of cleansing lepers. One bird is killed in an earthen vessel over running water. This speaks, of course, of our Savior coming in human form, taking his place in the human family, and dying, shedding his blood for the remission of sin. Then the living bird with blood upon it is set free. And this is a picture of the resurrection and exaltation of our Savior. As Hebrews 9:12 says, he entered once into the holy place with his own blood, and there obtained for us an eternal redemption and eternal loosing. Then the priest pronounces him clean. He didn't say to the leper, "Do you feel clean?" or "Do you look clean?" He pronounces him clean. My friend, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved because I feel it. Now, I may have many feelings, but my feelings doesn't make me a Christian. And it might be well for me to suggest that there are some Christians, bless their hearts, and they love the Savior, and they love lost men and women. But they demand that others who are saved have the same experience they have. This is not true. All of us are different, and God gives to each one of us a different experience. There are some who are outgoing Christians, and they bubble up with the joy of the Lord in their hearts, and they just keep on talking about the Savior. They can't keep it in. They're just in love with the Savior, and that's the way they're made. There are others who are quiet, and they're not as voluble, they're not as talkative about it, but they love the Savior just as much. Don't try and expect the other Christian to have what you have in the sense of experience. The fact is, the priest pronounces the man clean. And let me be very frank when I tell you, I'm saved not because I feel it. I'm saved because God Almighty has told me if I put my trust in his Son, I would be his child. I'd be cleansed and forgiven every sin. I'd be the recipient of eternal life. I'd become his child, bound for eternal glory. And I'm saved on the precious, eternal, unchangeable, uncorruptible Word of the living God. And He's a faithful, faithful Savior and a faithful Lord. I'm saved because He declares it. But the more it grips my heart of the wonder of it, the sureness of it, the reality of it, then I have experiences. Now I've had all kinds of experiences. I'm not going to tell you what they are. You'd be occupied trying to get an experience. I want you to be occupied with the Savior. Not with the gift, but with the giver. And when I think of this dear man who was cleansed of leprosy, the very first miracle in the New Testament, go and show yourself to the priest. The priest must be the one who shall pronounce him clean. The priest is the one who must recognize that God is in their midst. The priest must be the authentic witness. Men might deny that he was a leper, but not so the priest. And here you have our Savior, Jehovah, Emmanuel, God with us, the God of Israel in the midst of Israel, and the very first miracle is the cleansing of a leper. My friends, I want you to notice this. Don't you go out and cleanse lepers, just like our Savior did. This was one of His credentials, for Isaiah said when Messiah comes, you'll know Him. Why? He'll cleanse lepers. And Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. I hope I've made it very clear. The priest is the one who must pronounce him clean. The priest is the one who is the authentic witness of the God being in their midst. He must recognize this. As I said a while ago, the priests were the ruling leaders in our Lord's day. For you remember in Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they were a theocracy. God was their king. And then you have the time of the judges who ruled for God. Then you've got the time of the kings. Then you've got the time of the priests after the return from Babylon. And when our Savior was here, the priests were the leaders of Israel. They were the elders of Israel. They were the leaders of the people of Israel. When you come to from the 70 AD to the present time until Israel is recognized as a nation, we have the rabbinical teachers as the leaders of Israel spread all over the world. And the next thing, when it comes to the kingdom of our Lord, He will reign as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You come right back to a theocracy when God is going to reign from one end of the earth to the other. But I want to get this into your heart. Go and show yourself to the priest. Messiah's here. This is the thought. Messiah's here. Why didn't the Lord cast out demons first? Why didn't He open the eyes of the blind first? No. Go and show yourself to the priest. Lepers cleansed must report to the priest. And he must pronounce them clean before they can go back to their own family, to their own home, and to their own business, to their own friends. It's the priest that does this. How wonderful. When you and I, my Christian friend, accepted the Savior, we became members of the family of God. And God, if I may quote from Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 11, God is not ashamed to be called their God. As if God were looking over the battlements of heaven and saying to the whole earth, to all created intelligence, these are my people. These are my people. Oh, friend, what a wonderful thing to have a Savior and to be cleansed. Are you cleansed from all sin? You know, 1 John 1:7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Oh, it's not what you see in the blood of Christ. It's what God sees. That's the important thing. And the Lord bless you today.